Welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL. 7 minutes past the hour. Hopefully everybody's having a nice commute to work. Again, not too cold out there, but Nostradamus over here says it's going to get pretty cold.
That's right. I'm reading my quatrains. And we're going to have snow flurries tomorrow. They're still saying no.
You said flurry, though. You said there'd be a flurry or two around.
You said singular flurry. Yeah,
so well, if someone sees the magical snowflake, it's a good day.
No. You're going to get snow flurries maybe this evening.
I thought it was tomorrow.
See, folks, they weren't awake in the morning, but it takes a
while. That was a whole hour ago, Bruce. Yes.
Lest we forget your weather.
Yes. Yeah, there it is. Whether you listen, that's another story.
Uh-huh.
But tell you what, I got a great idea for this segment.
I want to hear it.
Let's talk campaign politics.
No.
Campaign.
Oh, okay.
How much money gets spent campaigning?
Oh, you know.
Not enough.
You know.
You want to talk about raising taxes. Yeah. How about we just don't vote for a president?
Yeah, I think Corinne just asked the $18 trillion question right there. Mm. But, we've been talking about the campaigns and the start, and I compared last week that everybody's like it's a track meet. They're all staring at the starting line, and they're looking at each other, kind of sizing each other up. You know,
and you compared Scott Walker, the governor of Wisconsin,
yes,
to Jeb Bush.
Right. Now we
Great
have,
comparison.
And I don't have a soundbite on this, but we've got a story. It's old Teddy Cruz. Teddy Cruz, the senator for a Republican of Texas, he does bring up, I think, a point of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Is he said, and he has a tendency of doing this, bringing up things of discussion wise. He said that if we nominate another candidate in the mode of 1996 nominees, and he's referring to the Bob Doles, Arizona back senator back in 2008, John McCain, or he goes, and this is why he said this, or Mitt Romney. He says the same people who stayed home in 2008 and 2012 will stay home in 2016, and the Democrats will win again. He has a point. He has a point.
I don't know.
He's basically talking about Democrats will win again if GOP picks moderate candidate in 2016. Now, let's look at this field that's going right now. John McCain, loser, in my opinion. He tried to run. He got bounced out the first time around. It was almost like they felt like, well, they owe McCain a run. And he ran, and thus we ended up with Obama. That was a ticket in my mind that should have been Palin-McCain, but it didn't work that way. So he tried again. He finally learned his lessons, done. Now we have Mitt Romney coming back into the fold. Mitt Romney talks about that he'll be a little bit more forceful if running. And
fun fact, Mitt Romney had just had I don't know if it was his daughter or son, but he welcomed into his family his 23rd grandchild.
Yeah.
How do you have that many grandchildren?
Yeah. You know,
anyways.
And Romney also states that he will communicate better in the 2016 bid. But this is the second time around club. And let's call them the second time around club. Because here we got Romney again. Now, Romney, economic-wise, yeah. The thing that really they hammered Romney on, Romney care. That's really what they were hammering him on because we were going
He was a beast of a different breed if it was Mitt Romney running, then I think more folks would have not stayed home. Well, but the fact of the matter is that I don't think he stuck to his convictions.
Well, Romney started off, I thought, pretty strong. Now, first of all, let me point out that these that they're claiming are the front runners right now has always traditionally been if you're a front runner this early, you're not going to make it later on. Mm. It always
You wouldn't make it past the primary.
I mean, look at Rudy Giuliani. He was a front runner for a long time, and then all of a sudden he fell off the table during that
season. Right, and he had the whole America's mayor kind of thing, and I don't think he had the experience.
Romney started off incredibly strong because this was at a time Obama was talking about stimulus to bring companies back, and Romney went to Allentown, Bethlehem, stood in front of the old closed-down steel plant. And did right. That was great. Now,
that's where he said the whole binder full of women thing, wasn't it? That people like really took issue with.
Well, the candidates are going to do stumbles here and there, and in the heat
poor
of
choice
thing.
Of words for sure.
Yeah. Now you had McCain. McCain when he went, I remember vividly the one town hall, and it I think this made YouTube. You can probably find it on there, where he's at a campaign town hall, and this one elderly guy gets up there and just gives it to him. Puts it, you're not talking about this. You need to hit Obama on this. You need to do this. You need to do that. And what does McCain do? He sits there, well, I hear you, and never once did it. Hmm. Never once did it. And he was done. It was almost to the point where some people are saying it was almost a setup to make sure that Obama got in there for the historic value of the person. So we have this. Now, Ted Cruz does, I think, put something out there which is viable in discussion. This is also a shot, which I agree with, against Jeb Bush. Now, for those don't know the difference between Jeb Bush and, as I did, Scott Walker, maybe we could play that soundbite again. That'll lay it out. Jeb Bush would be what they would call a moderate. I call him a rhino, which is a Republican in name only. So let's revisit this real quick. Here's Jeb Bush.
Immigrants create far more businesses than native-born Americans over the last 20 years. Immigrants are more fertile, and they love families, and they have more intact families, and they bring a younger population. The one way that we can rebuild the demographic pyramid is to fix a broken immigration system to allow for people to come to learn English, to play by our rules, to embrace our values, and to pursue their dreams in our country with a vengeance to create more opportunities for all of us. This is a conservative idea. And if we do this, we will rebuild our country in a way that will allow us to grow. If we don't do it, we will be in decline, because the productivity of this country is dependent upon young people that are equipped to be able to work hard.
Now, here we have...
Sounds like he's trying to convince folks there.
Yeah.
He's repeating certain parts. It will. I promise.
Sure. And this is what would be considered a moderate on here. And the fact is that nothing positive about the, you know, the naturally born American citizen that lives here and works and so forth. And, you know, I find that real distressing. But this is the moderate Wren, which I think Ted Cruz is also targeting with his comment.
I can say it. I don't particularly like Ted Cruz.
No. I think
you're absolutely right. He brings up an interesting point.
Sure.
I don't know about great ideas. I think he brings up an interesting point.
Sure.
However, I find it dangerous when someone talks about certain things in a position of power that they really don't know what they're talking about.
And I personally, I have a problem with junior senators.
Right.
You know, but anyhow, let's listen again to despite what Jeb Bush says, this is a conservative thing. Let's listen to what I feel is a conservative view on the same topic that Bush just talked about.
Tonight, I'm proud to report to each of you here that the state of our state is strong. The source of our strength is our people. I see it when I tour factories and farms and small businesses. I see it when I visit schools and hospitals and places of worship all across this great state. The citizens of Wisconsin are decent and smart and hardworking, and they are strong. Over the past 4 years, we have put the power back into their hands. In turn, Wisconsin is more free and prosperous.
Yeah, this is kind of literally the we report, you decide scenario here. It's pretty clear cut. Now, so here we have the contrast. Is Walker over-conservative? No, he's a conservative, not over-conservative. He's a conservative, and he gives credit where the credit is due. And which your allegedly moderate or the rhino, Jeb Bush, does not. Now, let's look at others that are from the second time around club. Nice guy. I like him, but I don't think he's presidential. Even though he was a governor, it was Mike Huckabee.
I was just going to say that. Is that Mike Huckabee?
Yeah, it's Mike Huckabee. Mike, he's got it. There's the leadership end of it. Now, leadership comes in many forms. Of course, we, you know, take a look at Obama. There is what leadership is not. Plain and simple. But, you know, here we're dealing with people that have the idea, have the mindset, may have the qualifications, but they have the leadership ability to get the message across. Now, tonight, Obama's going to give a wonderful speech. Oh, he gives great speeches. I mean, I think he's got a great job to narrate infomercials after his presidency, you know, selling the icebox to the Eskimo. But is there leadership there? So we have to look at this. Do we want to rehash the past with some of these people, or do we want to look at a Scott Walker or somebody along this line to be our next chief executive?
We're going to head to a commercial break. We'll be right back with more. It's a New Day. Stay right there.
WFYL is a growing part of our community, serving as a voice of reason and a defender of and proponent for all that has made and will make America a great nation. There simply are not enough competing voices and ideas in the media, and we are proud to partner with WFYL in working for your liberty and things that truly matter. Advertising on WFYL has served us well and opened doors of opportunity for expanding our mission in classical Christian education, and the good people at the station have been so kind to help us network as well. I hope you will faithfully tune in to WFYL, share this station with others, and consider how a partnership with your organization or business could strengthen our community and build a stronger America.
Never give in. Never give in.
Winston Churchill's words stirred his country in the face of defeat.
Never, never, never.
Today they inspire us to reach for our own victories. Commitment. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
Hello, this is Bob Levins, pastor of True North Christian Church, offering up a prayer for America. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you on behalf of our nation that so desperately needs you. Today we are facing challenges from all directions. The strength of our nation has never been our military might or our financial capacity, but our humility before you. And as we have honored you, we have been blessed. However, today so many have rejected the truth of your word and your grace. This day, I pray that you will awaken us by your Holy Spirit. I would ask that you would open our eyes once again to cause us to honor you, not with words alone, but by deeds and humble hearts. Send a wave of revival across this land that reminds us once again of who you are, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I ask this, our Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL, 20 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock. Hopefully you're all listening to us at 1180WFYL.com. Remember, you can give us a call, too, at 610-539-8255. Or toll-free, I believe. Our toll-free number is what?
877-667-1180. 877-667-1180.
Perfect.
And did you give our email?
Info@1180. You can drop us a line and let us know how you feel about the show or topics that you'd like us to discuss or even some feedback on topics we discussed. We'd love to hear from you.
And if you've missed any of these shows or any of our other shows, like Bruce's H2O on Saturdays.
We haven't mentioned it yet today.
And We the People on Fridays from 7 to 8.
And we'll have a new show coming up right after H2O. Which will be Raise the Standard.
Yes, let's talk about that for a minute. That starts our debut show for Raise the Standard is this Saturday.
Right, and it'll meet
from 10 to 11.
Right, and which was going to deal with history of the American flag, veterans issues, and a number of things that deal along those two topics with Gene and Michael Rapp, wonderful people.
From Downingtown, Pennsylvania. Yes. They own the store Brandywine Flags. Maybe you've stopped by the store before to buy a flag.
Yes.
Or perhaps you should, yes. So tune in on Saturdays from 10 to 11 to hear their show.
Right.
This will be their first one this Saturday, so we're excited to learn more about them and what they have in store for us here on WFYL. But yes, go on over to our podcast page on 1180WFYL.com. Check out our previous shows. Stay informed with what's going on because it is important. Knowledge is power. Right, Bruce?
There you go.
Right,
you
Andrew?
Go. Uh-huh.
An informed society will be the saving of the republic. How's that one? That's a paraphrase of a couple of founding fathers there for you.
And also coming soon will be Sam Rohr's show.
Yes, that's coming.
Stay tuned for that.
That's coming as well. Stand in the gap.
On weekdays from noon till 1.
That's right. And then, of course, we have our Constitution program, We the People, heard right here every Friday morning from 7 to 8. And if you miss that one, you can hear it on the podcast that same day.
And also the lovely Carla DeDessi with her Family Matters show on Fridays from 8 to 9, right after We the People.
But Friday on the Constitution program, it's going to be worth tuning into because we were talking about the Convention of States last week, and now we're going to talk about nullification.
Oh, what a topic to explore.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
It is.
So, a lot of good stuff coming down the road here. But speaking of things coming down the road here, there's a report that came out by the Washington Examiner about Harry Reid. Of course, Harry Reid, the former obstructionist in the Senate and in the Congress who held up every bill going through for Obama didn't have to work.
Do you think that he held up more bills than any other person in his position?
That's a good question. I'd have to look into that one.
I think it would come close. If he hasn't, he's probably definitely in the top.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is a very good question, one worth taking a look at, which I think we'll do that. But besides the fact that Harry Reid, in a exercising incident in his home, caused himself great bodily damage.
How did he hurt himself again?
I heard it was on a treadmill or something.
It was just exercise equipment.
Well, whatever it is.
I don't know what it was. I submit it was an elliptical.
Would agree.
Yeah, well, he may lose sight in one eye from what they're saying with the damage.
No way, really?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Well,
that is really unfortunate.
I mean, that's...
Being that aside, is that 2016 may see the retirement of Harry Reid. Now,
Where's the applause when you need it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's one there. Well, in an article by the Washington Examiner, they state that former Senate Majority Leader, now Minority Leader, Harry Reid, is most vulnerable Democrat for the re-election in 2016 and may retire because of it. Because it'd be a humiliating defeat for him. Boy, I wish I could read a headline like that with Nancy Pelosi.
Oh.
You know, that would be
what
wonderful.
What do you mean? You don't like Nancy? What?
Yeah, you know, we got to pass the bill.
She passed the bill.
Yeah. It's kind of out there in space. But anyhow.
Who was this? This is a little random, but I'm thinking of these infamous quotes. Who was the person that lost a page in their speech?
Oh, that was Kathleen Sebelius.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was with Unaffordable Care Act, her bowing out speech, which, you know, I can't seem to find it. But
I think we're missing
But the
page.
Fact is that Harry Reid is an evil man. Hmm. He is an evil little man. Harry Reid actually came across on the Senate floor and wanted to propose a constitutional amendment to stop people like the Koch brothers from, being involved in politics and the money that they have. But it said nothing. You know, he said nothing about those environmentalists and maybe even George Soros or anything like that that outspend and give to the Democratic Party. And Harry Reid was the obstructionist. Every time you listen back to the tapes and read transcripts about Obama saying about the Congress not doing anything or the do-nothing Congress here, he's talking about Harry Reid. Because the House was passing bills. There's 400 and some odd bills sitting on the desk that Mitch McConnell came in and found sitting there that are just collecting dust that Harry would not bring to the floor. And see, this,
but I have a question now. Yeah. How soon are they looking to repeal the nuclear option?
Well, you know, right now with I think after tonight's State of the Union address, the stinker that we'll hear, things will speed up a little bit. But keep in mind now, since Obama doesn't have his protector Harry to keep all bills from him, he's got his magic veto pen now.
He still has his best friend Al Sharpton too.
Yeah, well, you know,
he's always there somewhere lurking.
So you have the fact that the protection wasn't there, and then now these bills are going to come through, and they're going through to see which bills are viable. They're going to go to committee in the Senate and go through the process on there, and Obama will be vetoing, so everything's going to be stuck on Obama is what it's going to be. So Harry Reid was the obstructionist. Harry Reid needed to go years ago, but now the Harry Reid clique got in there. In fact, he came close the last time he was running for his seat. I forget the woman's name, but it was a viable challenge. But if it wasn't for the unions in the casinos and that in Vegas, that's what got Harry in. Hmm. The people of Nevada don't like Harry. I mean, you, during that time, all the interviews that were going through and the percentage of polls was that, you know, Harry, no way. Well, now that Harry's minority leader, there's less there. And so it makes him vulnerable. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there.
Well, no, you know, certainly we're not evil. We wish him a speedy recovery, and hopefully he does not lose his eyesight.
Oh, he's an evil man. I'm sorry. He's an evil man.
Well, I'm not.
With the vitriol in claiming that people are un-American on the floor of the Senate, you know, Americans exercising their constitutional rights for political whatever they want to do. And
well,
he calls them
un-American. Think that people are ill-informed about what their job title actually entails them to.
What's the old quote?
And do the people hold the elected officials accountable?
Right. And for evil to exist, good men must do nothing.
Exactly. Edmund right.
Burke.
So is he the good man who does nothing, or is he the evil man persisting?
He's the obstructionist.
Okay.
He was an obstructionist.
We're the good men.
Yeah, we the people.
I'm not discounting you. Yeah. I'm just pulling apart what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
No, I agree.
Just pulling, I'm just
dissecting what you're trying to say. I just want to be clear. I know you want to be clear. That's very important
to
you.
Well, you know, what I want to do is throw the facts and that out there and let the folks make their decisions.
Exactly. Exactly. And so that's we're all for.
Right. That's the whole clue to this thing, is to bring up this information that you're probably not going to get because, well, whatever reason you're
mainstream
right.
or lamestream.
Yeah.
Like you say, media.
Well, you know, that's not mine at all. Others have said that before, so I'm just using what others have used. Now, there is another story that has popped up, is the administration lawyers are too happy, and the administration is not too
aren't
happy.
Aren't or
are not.
Are not too happy.
Too happy, and I wish I had Chuck Proctor here for this one. Is I'll have to ask him this on Friday when I see him for the Constitution program. Is with the Hobby Lobby Conestoga Woods Specialties ruling by the Supreme Court. So the administration has now gone back to court and their lawyers to urge that the Hobby Lobby ruling on birth control doesn't apply to religious groups. Now, from my knowledge, and from what I know, it wasn't the total contraceptive package. There were certain aspects.
Yeah. I believe the Han family still supported 14 separate birth control measures.
Right.
They were looking about...
And same with Hobby Lobby.
Abortive drugs, morning after pill, things like that, that were supposed to be provided by the... Yeah, that comes
yeah, there you go. Working for your liberty.
That scared me for a second. Well, anyway, that means we do have to head to a commercial.
All right.
So let's get into this when we come right back. Yeah, we've got a whole another half hour to talk about this. So we'll be right back with more. It's a New Day. Stay right there for us.
1180 shining forth. We are the Freedom Station. WFYL.
News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. A $200 million ransom demand from Islamic State terrorists to not kill two Japanese hostages. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe calls the threat unforgivable.
We will send the Minister for Foreign Affairs to Jordan and will ask the government for help. I will take the lead as a whole, and the Japanese government will deal with this case, putting people's lives first.
He's on a trip to the Middle East now, not saying whether any ransom will be paid. A waterfront mansion burns in Annapolis, Maryland.
Six people unaccounted for. Friends and family gathered outside the home, many crying and placing flowers and teddy bears at the foot of the gates. More than 80 firefighters responded to the home with no access to fire hydrants, forcing crews to use a boat in order to put out the fire from the water.
Maria Morocco with Fox TV affiliate WTTG in Washington. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Hi, folks. Mike Kaminsky here, co-host and local sponsor of Putting Your Financial House in Order. People ask me all the time, do you like being on the radio? And I answer, absolutely. I personally feel being on the radio is the next best thing to being able to sit down one-on-one with you. It's a great way to help educate you on many areas of personal and business finance.
So tune in Mike, Daryl, and the Bull, Putting Your Financial House in Order, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on WFYL, 1180 AM.
Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children. the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
Julia Learns series is available as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
Hi, friends. This is Janet Parshall, host of In the Market, coming to you on Moody Radio. Ever wake up in the morning, turn on the morning news, and you just feel like you're out of focus, not quite sure how you should respond as a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, that's what In the Market is designed to do. We take a look at those headlines. We take a look at that news, but we do it in a markedly different way. We look at it through the lens of Scripture. Why? So you'll go out in the marketplace of ideas for His sake. Join us for In the Market with Janet Parshall.
We are pleased to be adding Janet Parshall to our program schedule Sundays at 12:05, right here on 1180 AM, WFYL, working for your liberty.
And welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL, 34 minutes past the hour. And we just started talking right before the break about something that I think we should continue.
Yeah, we got cut off.
I think that's a great idea.
So what were we saying? Where were we?
Well, we were talking about this administration's displeasure with the Unaffordable Care Act and a ruling by the Supreme Court in the case of Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Wood Specialists. Now, in that case, both those entities that were filing against Kathleen Sebelius, at that time she was the head of Health and Human Services, and which lawsuit was directed at, is it had to deal with the contraceptive measures in Obamacare. Now, with the court case is that they were not targeting everything with the contraceptives and in Obamacare. They were targeting certain things, certain pills and that to go into that. And the Supreme Court ruled in the favor of Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Wood Specialties.
And we had our very own Chuck Proctor as a key part of that.
Right. He was representing Conestoga in front of the Supreme Court. Now, the Obama administration wasn't happy about that ruling. Of course, there's a lot of things Obama does and gets overturned, you know, like that one executive order that got overturned where he tried to claim that the House and the Senate, they were at recess, and it was like, no, they're not, so it doesn't work, boom, out the door. So he doesn't take defeat well. And they're going to continue after this dead horse and claiming now that the Hobby Lobby ruling on birth control does not apply to religious groups, that this ruling was just for them. That is not the way that I interpret it. Like I said, it would be great if we, and I'm going to talk to Chuck Proctor about this and get from him. But my feeling is that this ruling is the ruling on these certain contraceptive measures. And so, in essence, what the administration is looking to do is to not have it apply to everything else. And so, you know, it's selective enforcing is what it's looking to be. That's wrong. That's wrong. And, of course, the Supreme Court now hold on to whatever it takes to hold on to. This is something that I think that should not be in the purview of the Supreme Court. They're going to rule on the legality of same-sex marriages in this country. Ugh, that's a minefield. One, I don't think this high court should go to. Plain and simple. And a lot of folks are going to go, well, you know, the big problem comes down to is for the American people, and this is no secret, we do not trust our government. We do not trust those elements of that government, Supreme Court being one of them. And this is the problem with a lot of appointings that are going on, because you take a look at this administration with the judicial system on those that they appoint. They always will appoint to favor their side. So is justice blind, or is justice biased? Instead of the objective thing. You know, with the Supreme Court, and this is something we brought out in the Constitution program, is, and we talked about this with juries, what, 2 weeks ago? Is where a jury originally, and it's still on the books that they can do this, if a case is brought in front of a jury, the jury will first review the law to see if it's just before hearing evidence and ruling on a case. Judges have now instructed juries in a very narrow scope to rule on the case at hand and the evidence at hand. They do not mention about looking at the justness of the law. So that has been changed. Not by vote, but by simply, this is my power, I'm a judge to do this, so therefore I'm doing this. So now you can understand a little bit of the apprehension, the distrust, that the right decision will be made. However, if a Supreme Court does a ruling on something, okay, they've ruled on this law. And Corinne, you should know this answer.
Uh-oh.
How can you change that? Now, courts have been known to change their rulings.
Of course, I don't know it.
No,
are you
well,
being sarcastic?
No, I said to her because she was in the discussion, but Andrew, it's also for you.
Okay, repeat the question.
Okay. Supreme Court makes a ruling. Okay, boom. There's the ruling on the law. There it is. The Supreme Court has, and other courts have been known to overturn their own rulings.
Right.
Okay.
We talked about this last Friday.
What other means can be done to overturn a Supreme Court ruling?
Was this your topic of discussion for last Friday's We the People, Corinne?
I think it was in that or the
one before.
Yeah. It was one of them.
What's the other way to overturn it?
Yeah. Okay.
Well. I'm going to say that there's an appeal process.
No.
Can the president do something about that?
No.
I thought it was. Oh, Congress, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Congress can pass a law, a bill.
Yeah.
That changes the law. Thus, null and void that ruling.
So, once the Supreme Court makes a ruling, because I'm thinking of like maybe state Supreme Courts, you can appeal a higher level of court.
Yeah,
but
state
Supreme. The Supreme Court being the highest level of court, there is no appeal process.
They're the highest court in the
right.
land.
Right. So you would go to Senate, the House, Congress, that right. kind of thing.
Correct. Is this where nullification comes in?
Yeah, and I think we're going to be talking a little bit about
because
this.
Didn't – I forget what exactly I asked on Friday, but – well, Sam was saying that we've never actually done nullification the right way.
Right. And as I brought up also,
but it is very effective if done the right way, but it hasn't been.
Jefferson wrote about it, and many wrote about this, is that nullification, attempts on nullification have been attempted over the years, none successfully. As Chuck pointed out, for a nullification, if you have a whole shopping list of things that you should basically nullification. Let's just look at Obama's executive orders, okay? And you cannot take a blanket. You have to do it one by one, each one individually in a nullification realm. So if you go with a law by Congress, and here it is, folks. We say this all the time. The Constitution starts off with we the people.
Right.
This is we the people. This is our power through our elective representatives.
Right. So you want to overturn a law, you're saying – start out by voting for the right people, and then those folks, if they have your ideas or best interests, will overturn a law that you find unjust.
That's right. Mm-hmm. By George, I think he's got it.
Almost sounds too easy, Bruce.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's like one of these books, the secrets the government doesn't want you to know.
Well, you know, they're still politicians. You can lead a horse to water, right?
Well, yeah. You know, right. And there it is. And we get back to my original statement that I was saying when Corinne did her verse. About the, and we've talked about the numbers of Christians that are now holding seats in state houses and in the Congress. Christian by name is a Christian by action. Do they have the moral spine to stand up for the Christian value that they claim that they have and are? To do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Therein lies the question. You know, and Corinne, you mentioned when we talked on gun control, guns and that, it's the heart. It's always the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have the heart to do the right thing?
And do the people of our state and people of the nation have the heart to call them out and to stay informed and hold them accountable?
Right. And again, we had an opportunity to get the ball started in the right direction, because most, if a good majority of Americans believe by various polling data that America is headed down the wrong path. We're going the wrong way. And they want to bring it back to a better way.
Well, when folks are calling our heroes cowards, you know,
well, you know,
kind of see the idiocy in some statements.
And even that, we're getting to the point where the American people are getting tired of the political correctness. We're getting tired of the spin. We're getting tired of the tax.
Even Hollywood with the political correctness is ridiculous.
More of a point to that, you know, we were talking obviously about Michael Moore's tweets before about talking about Chris Kyle, the American sniper, and how he was a coward.
Yeah.
He was taught snipers were cowards, which is, you know, ridiculous in itself. But I think the famous statement that, you know, you would fight for the right for somebody to have their First Amendment, you know, be, you know, they, you would fight for someone's freedom of speech even if you didn't agree with what they said.
And you know, and you also have, I mean, if you want to go on quotes and so forth, first of all, again, go to Washington. See the monuments, memorials. Go over to the Korean War Memorial. Walk past the line of soldiers that represent the various soldiers moving towards the center apex, which is the pond of remembrance at the end of it. Look at that wall where it says, freedom is not free. Thomas Jefferson once said that the tree of liberty must be fed from time to time with the blood of patriots. To keep our freedoms, to keep this republic viable, is that people sacrifice. A sniper. Oh, we think of the sniper hidden in the building, secluded with his little rifle lunette. That's that hole that he looks through and he sees and he shoots. The guts that takes. To know that you, in most battles, you do not see the guy, the person you take out.
Yeah.
They see him up close and personal through a scope.
Mm-hmm.
And as Kyle said,
it takes a lot of courage and a lot of love for our nation to do that.
And determination to do what is right to protect your fellow soldiers, your fellow citizens. And this, though not killing anybody, well, then again, Congress has been known to do that with the president with some of the things that they've done. Let's look at Hillary. No, let's not. Is that, it's a job that needs to be done, and it gets done. But it, in essence, it protects our republic, protects our liberties, protects us as a whole, and allows the Michael Moores to say what they had. And as the one sniper said on the air, I think it was on O'Reilly and that, so everything, he's not worth the breath that I'm talking about this, but he can say what he wants to say. He's freedom to do it, and you're welcome for having that because of the service he's made.
Right.
We've got to head to a commercial break. We'll be right back. Stay right there.
When government fears the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. Thomas Jefferson.
It's a brand new year, a time for doing things a new way. What worked last year won't work this year. You have to do more to keep moving forward to get to that next level. WFYL is launching a new program, Accelerating Your Business, every Thursday morning from 7:34 to 8 a.m. to help you do just that. Hosted by me, Michelle Faustin, a growth strategy, market entry, and business expansion expert, and president and CEO of MJF Strategy, Accelerating Your Business will be a call-in radio show where you ask questions and get the answers you need to grow your business the right way and take it to the next level. Whether you desire to enter a new market, expand into an existing one, whether your business is stagnating and you want to break out, experience incremental growth in the past and are ready to make a big jump in revenue, or are growing rapidly but need help in managing that growth to ensure that your infrastructure can handle it and that you don't bust at the seams, overexpand, or lose out on profitability, then this is the show for you. For a chance to have your questions aired and answered on our show's premiere, email me at askmichelle@1180.com. WFYL.com. That's Ask Michelle at 1180WFYL.com. And that's Accelerating Your Business, airing every Thursday morning from 7:34 to 8 a.m. starting February 5th on WFYL. I'm excited to help you grow your business.
Owning and caring for a home comes with a lot of to-dos. Tune up the furnace, clean the gutters, remodel the kitchen. Whatever your home improvement need, Home Advisor can help you find a pro you can trust to get the job done right. Go to home.homeadvisor.com for instant access to top-rated pros in your area, including electricians, handymen, plumbers, whatever type of home pro you need. And Home Advisor is absolutely free to use. At Home Advisor, you don't have to search through a long list of pros. With just a few clicks, Home Advisor matches you with pros who provide the exact services you need. You can read customer reviews of the pros, even use the cost guide to find out what hundreds of other home projects cost in your area. And because Home Advisor knows it's important to find a pro you can trust in your home, they conduct background checks on their service professionals. It's just one of the reasons more than 25 million homeowners have used Home Advisor. Go to home.homeadvisor.com to find the right pro for your project. That's home.homeadvisor.com.
Not available in California, Louisiana, and Virginia.
Listeners, do you have startup capital and want to invest in a business with incredible profit potential? Fresh Healthy Vending, the number one healthy vending franchise in North America, is growing fast, and we're looking for people right here in the local area to become Fresh Healthy Vending franchise owners and help our business continue to boom. If this sounds like you, we'll send you a free owner information kit. As an added bonus to new franchise owners, we'll also pay half the franchise fees. Just go to readyforfresh.com and enter code 2121. That's readyforfresh.com, code 2121.
Good morning and welcome back to It's a New Day here on 1180 AM WFYL, working for your liberty today and every day. At this point in our show with Andrew Turner, Bruce Stocking, and Corinne Lillis, we
Hi.
Are...
Hi.
Hi.
The ABC. Yes.
Bruce is going to give us his We the People, and we are looking forward to turning it over to him and hearing what he has to share with us.
Well, as everyone knows, I'm a bit of a history guy.
No.
And whenever the opportunity to talk something historical comes about, I usually seize that opportunity and go through it. And when I do this to relate the history and the facts and maybe some of the backstories, the little known or talked about backstories that deal with political correctness in some cases, and that's today's topic. Now, of course, yesterday, if you weren't aware of it and you went to the bank, you went to the post office, you were probably amazed to find that they were closed because yesterday was a federal holiday. The federal holiday itself was Martin Luther King Day. And a little bit of the backstory on that is, most know, if you don't know, I was born in Chicago, but I grew up in Virginia, and I was raised in Virginia. And since 1889 in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and also throughout some of the other states in the South, but not as much as Virginia, yesterday was known as Lee Jackson Day. Now, Lee Jackson Day was to celebrate the birthdays of Robert E. Lee and Thomas Jonathan Stonewall Jackson, two Confederate officers during the American Civil War, but they were also two officers in the United States Army prior to that war, with Robert E. Lee being a former commandant of West Point. And like I said, back in 1889 is when it was designated Lee Jackson Day. In fact, it was actually Robert E. Lee Day. And then it was about 1904 that Stonewall Jackson was put in. Now, if you hearken back in holidays in this country, if you look at the month of February, you have George Washington's birthday and you have Abraham Lincoln's birthday. And for years, they were both celebrated on their individual days. Then do the wisdom of Congress, and allegedly in an attempt to save money because they pay their employees, they have to work on those days, holiday pay, they combined them and created President's Day to basically acknowledge all presidents as they changed the thing. and not so much, you know, even though they're included in there in the main part, but not so much the two greatest presidents this country ever had. So things are going along fine, and then in 1983, the federal government created yet another federal holiday, and it was to honor Martin Luther King. Now, Martin Luther King's birthday was on January 15th, still is, by the way, on January 15th, but they did not want to designate that day. So they chose a day to designate, which was yesterday. And I remember vividly during those days when that happened, the big question came, well, why did you pick, which is already in Virginia, for example, a holiday, and in some places in the South? Because Lee Jackson Day was a state holiday. It's almost like opening season of hunting in Pennsylvania, where you have some areas the schools will close, county office buildings and that will close for that day. It was a tradition. Well, the federal government decided to place it right on what was Lee Jackson Day. And great debate, and I remember it quite well, is great debate was, well, it was deliberately targeted on that day because Lee Jackson, this is a racist thing. They were Confederates. They were slaveholders. By the way, Stonewall Jackson never owned slaves. Never. Robert E. Lee, who was a slave owner, he broke the law in Virginia because he was educating his. And so, but this was the spin. This was the thing. So the holiday, Martin Luther King's birthday, was put on what was known as Lee Jackson Day. For a while, it was known as Lee Jackson King Day. Well, that raised some hackles in people. And so what did Virginia do? Virginia decided to back the Lee Jackson Day, put it back some, allowing the original Lee Jackson Day to become Martin Luther King's birthday, and then they would modify to Friday before that day would be Lee Jackson Day. But so yesterday was the original Lee Jackson Day. You think today the political spin and goes on, and this is something new? The political spin has been going on in this country for years. But it wasn't of the magnitude that we have today. But I thought that it would warrant a little bit of an explanation on the coming back and the history of these two holidays. Is that all three, Lee, Jackson, King, are Americans. They all did things for this country. Yeah, some were, well, the Confederates against this country. But the fact this is the American story. And as Abraham Lincoln said with the American Civil War, and he pointed this out in the Gettysburg Address, where it's the first time in any speech he mentioned nation. Prior to that, it was the Union of States. The Union must be preserved. But he felt that the Civil War turned us from a Union of States to a nation of states. And all players, both North and South, are Americans that played a role in that great drama. And a part of the development of the country itself. And so, therefore, there's a little backstory. So if you didn't know that, now you do. So now you're a little bit more informed on the history.
It's always good to be informed on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't think many people probably know that, Bruce. And, of course, both were great men, so tribute
they were.
To them.
They
yesterday.
Were. Stonewall Jackson was an artillery specialist. He was an instructor at VMI. They used to call him old Blue Lighter Tom Fool. In fact, there's a great story about Jackson after the Battle of McDowell in 1862 in the Shenandoah Valley. He called up the Virginia VMI, the Corps of Cadets, to come to the battlefield after the battle was fought. They showed up. He immediately ordered them to go bury the dead at both sides. One of Jackson's staff officers asked him, "General, why did you call up the Corps of Cadets just to come up here to bury the dead soldiers?" He says, "I just want to remind them that I'm still their professor."
Oh.
Huh. Why did they call him Stonewall?
That came from Manassas, the first battle of Manassas Bull Run, and Jackson didn't like the sobriquet of Stonewall because in the, you know, it's always been related that during that battle, Jackson held his line like a stone wall. Mm. Well, actually, General B, who was killed in the battle, his brother wrote about it that B wasn't too happy because General B asked him, Jackson, to move forward to his position, and Jackson said, "No, sir, we shall stand here and give them the bayonet." And which B went back to his command and basically says, "There stands Jackson like a stone wall. We have to rally behind that Virginian." Hmm. Jackson was a genius in tactics. His tactics His tactics are still taught at West Point. In fact, they're even studied by other military leaders around the world. One most famous one was Erwin Rommel in his desert campaign. I'll focus on Jackson's
Rommel
valley
would
campaign.
Be the Desert Fox,
that's
correct? For that's the correct. German.
That's correct.
So Nazis at the time?
Yeah. But nevertheless, Jackson himself did not like the nickname and never liked being referred to that.
Well, it sounds like it was more of a humble thing, too, that he was
a religious man.
Necessarily me. Yeah. It was somebody else who... He was giving credit where credit was
right.
due.
And he was a very religious man, too. He was a deacon of his church down in Lexington, Virginia, and he did not like fighting battles on the Sabbath on Sundays, but most of his victories took place on Sundays. Hmm. And he'd always give the credit to God.
We're going to head out of the program. We're going to let Laura Ingram take over things at 9 o'clock. I want to thank everybody for listening today. It was wonderful to have all of you tuning in. We will be back tomorrow from 7 to 9 with more It's a New Day. From all of us here in the studio, thank you for listening. And as always, please stay informed.
Our speaker is Dan Peters, senior pastor at Limerick Chapel and author of the new book, 16 Counseling Sessions with the Wonderful Counselor. Join us each Sunday morning at 8:05 a.m. for a 25-minute Bible study with Dan Peters from Limerick Chapel right here on WFYL 1180 a.m.
Have you checked out our podcasts on our WFYL homepage? Did you know you could stream us anytime, night or day, 24/7 at 11?